We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome back to Maloney, Foray, and Mago. It is Wednesday at 3 o'clock, which means it's time to talk to the great Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, who is brought to you by Northeast Electrical. Where pros need pros at needco.com. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Dan Orlovsky. Dan, outstanding weekend for you. You were the absolute winner, and admit it, when Jimmy G stepped out of the end zone, you had to enjoy that.
It was amazing. my wife and kids, my kids didn't have school on Monday, so they had some friends over, sleeping over. They were watching a movie that late at night, and I was outside watching the game, kind of watching tape at the same time, and it happened, and I went running inside, and I was like, babe, you got to come outside. And she looked at me like, what the heck's wrong with you, dude? And I was like, you got to come outside. She's like, what? I was like, Jimmy Garoppolo just stepped out of the end zone. I'm not alone. So it was one of those moments, man, like, super funny. Obviously, feel bad for Jimmy. I've been there, all that. But I'm not going to lie. It's nice to have some kind of company.
That was nice, and you obviously having fun with it on Twitter as well. All right, let's get to the Patriots, because I am curious – and how you would judge that game from one Mac Jones. Early on, he made some big runs. There were some big throws. He's pushing it downfield. Then the interceptions and turnovers come into play. How would you look at that game from him?
That's sloppy, frustrating, forced. You know, those are the three words I wrote down in my notes. Sloppy, frustrated, and forced. And the two latter ones are probably the most, you know, you're going to have sloppy games here or there. I haven't seen a ton from Mac. The frustrated and forced are the two that kind of stood out to me that, you know, we've kind of intimated on this show a little bit, and that it started to feel that way at moments, certainly since the preseason and the first couple of weeks, and it showed itself Sunday. I also say this, you know, the interception that bothers me the most is the one in the red zone that happens on third and goal, and he just throws it up. That is so not a Mac Jones play. You know, Mac is so many things, good and bad, but he ain't reckless, and he ain't lazy, and he's not unprepared. And that's what that play looked like to me. Just, hey, third and goal, here comes pressure, they trade it off, and I'm just going to throw it up in the air. You know, and it was very much so, you didn't expect that. You didn't expect the defense to do that. And if they did it, you didn't know how to adjust, or you didn't have a plan of how to adjust expectation-wise. And that was probably the most disheartening one decision for me from Mac.
So Dan, I've been glad you brought that play up, because I've been battling people with this one for a while, because I look at that and then you can sit there and say, okay, well, he shouldn't have thrown it, he should have known better, that was reckless. I look at him on the sideline, and the TV crew, you know, the Fox crew, they pick up on it, and he's yelling cover four and he's cursing, which leads me to believe, when I watched tape again, Devontae Parker getting hemmed up at the line of scrimmage, looking over his inside shoulder instead of running a locked corner, makes me believe that he felt like he got screwed. Like, they all agreed that they saw the same thing, and then he's the one taking the blame for throwing the route that everyone knew was supposed to be thrown. How do you read it? Do you read it at all that way?
Totally. And here, and my reason, and a lot of my thesis, or not thesis, but thoughts on Mac is, no one's more prepared than him on that offense. No one is. I trust the things that he are. And the reality is, everyone's got to get on his page, you know, and you got to make sure that you're seeing it the same way. But I trust the things that he is seeing way more than the assumption of the others. And, you know, the defense kind of trades it off coverage wise. And that's where Mac's starting to think one thing and another thing happens. And it goes back to this. Mac, but also like the Patriot offense, it's never just looks so, you know, maybe I don't want to say never. I remember the Toms last year very much so having these same thoughts of everybody's on different pages. You know, Tom's seeing one thing, receivers are seeing another thing. It's just so very unlike them.
Dan, going back to something you said to us a couple weeks ago, was that you didn't really believe in a quarterback regression, even before the injury that Max suffered. What do you attribute these mistakes or these very uncharacteristic plays from Mac as we know him? What do you attribute that to?
So number one, I 100% believe it's attached to frustration. Number two, I 100% believe it's attached to doubt. Number three, I 100% believe it's attached to lack of clarity. Listen, Mac Jones threw the ball 600 times at Alabama. He threw 7 interceptions. He threw the ball almost 600 times last year. I believe he threw 8 interceptions in his last 11 games. So we're talking about a player that we have this massive body of data over, and we can unequivocally say over that body of data, this guy knows exactly what last year, know what to do with the ball, when to do it, how to throw it and where it should go, and then why. I mean, as good as you could ask for from a young player, and now all of a sudden that's gone. Now all of a sudden he's become a giveaway guy, a turnover machine. You know, that just doesn't happen when you continue to put in the work. If Mac was this guy that had this and became lazy, and we've heard reports of lack of preparation, then I could sit here and correlate the two. But that just doesn't happen unless he's frustrated with the things that are going on offensively. He understands that there's very little tie to them. There is. There's very little tie. And I said this past week. Last year when play calls happened, Mac Jones knew exactly why that play call was happening. Exactly why. I know why Josh is calling it. And right now he's going, why are we calling this play? You know, like, why is this play getting charged? And trying to figure it out. Like, why did he call that one?
All right, so we're talking to Dan Orlovsky, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't know if you saw this, either the transcript or the sound, or you heard the sound from Michael Lombardi from the GM Shuffle, where, and I'm going to paraphrase because it's kind of long, and we're going to actually discuss this next after we get off the phone with you, but he went into this long dissertation about, you know, like what the problems are, and it always kept leading back to turnovers, and he kept saying, well, you know, they move the ball, so it must be something. And yeah, I know that the offensive coordinator, it may be an issue, but you can't turn the ball over. It seems like he's blaming Mac for everything, which I have an issue with because I'm just listening to you. You're talking about frustration and irritation and lack of trust. That comes from coaching. So I don't understand why, like, Mac seems like Mac is being blamed for all these issues, and he's taking it like a champ.
Yeah, so it's right, the position naturally. Number one, you get more blame than you deserve. I can tell you this, like the sailed interception the other day, that's 100% frustration. I mean, it's 100% frustration. The one that we just talked about in the red zone, it's 100% not being prepared for it and doubting what you're seeing and not being convicted of.
Well done, well done. He's Dan Orlovsky. What?
I'm going to hear him talk.
Is he trying to defend himself?
I'm gonna go get into Keyshawn's behind right now.
All right, listen, we appreciate it. He's Dan Orlovsky. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate talking to you every single Wednesday. Have a good day.
Just remember, guys, the next quarterback in the AFC East that doesn't play for the Jets that Keyshawn says is good will be the first.
Right, we appreciate it.
Still hope.
All right, there it is. Dan Orlovsky. I like that. Keyshawn's right next to him. Yeah. And he admits, he's like, yeah, I do. I still think he's better than Brian. Yeah, Brian always better. Oh, they have TV coming up together?
Yeah, they're on at 4:00.
I feel like, you know, also we have an out of context Dan Orlovsky. Just saying.
Really?
Anybody else picked up on that?
All right, we might have to visit that during the break.
When we come back, we'll do Lombardi stuff.
Yeah, when we come back, Christian asked a question. Mike Lombardi had some comments to make of what he sees from the New England Patriots, and I don't think you're going to be surprised of who he blames for it. You'll hear it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back. This is Merloni, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
To sit here and say that, one, well, they're okay, they moved the ball without turnovers. Well, that is, like, for me, I'm sitting here going, well, you know how many teams would be better in the NFL if they didn't turn the ball over a ton? Well, why are the turnovers happening? I know the type of player he is. I've covered multiple games of his in college. I studied every single snap that this young man has taken since he's become the starting quarterback at Alabama, since he's become the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. I've watched every snap. I can tell you with complete confidence, he is not a person that doesn't know what he's looking at. I've lived this, guys. I've lived it where with the play call, and the play call comes in, you're like, this place stinks right now. It's this pessimistic type of mindset. That's where it feels his play is in.
So that was Dan Orlovsky, who we just spoke to from ESPN. And, I mean, he just went off. He essentially said, like, he said to me a question before that in his answer that it's about frustration and doubt. What we're seeing from Mac Jones. He's essentially standing on the sideline going, this play call sucks. I have to go out and run something I don't even believe in. And that's what you're saying. By the way, Merloni, Fourier, and Mego, we're here at our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio for the last time this year.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Before Red Sox home games. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealer and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox.
Just let me just jump on that because, you know, the quarterback is not usually the only person who has that doubt when they hear the play be called.
Would a tight end maybe have some of those doubts?
No, but the lineman, because you run these plays and you go in practice and you go, this ain't going to work. And I can tell you, like the fourth down plays, the two-point play, like I can care. Everyone's like, this ain't going to work. I can't get this block. That's too difficult. They're never going to fall for it. Like, so collectively, the team, they're no dummies. Like the quarterback is not. And then the quarterback's greatest challenge is convincing the offense that this is a great play. Like, honest to God, he hears it, and he probably says, oh, man, this place sucks, but I got to sell it.
And you know, like, listen, Dan Orlovsky studies, you know, quarterbacks. You know, Chris Sims is one of those guys. He studies quarterbacks more than anybody.
And he'll tell you too.
He'll tell you all day long. But I'm starting to feel like I was wrong. Remember I was saying, like, he'll get a pass this year, Mac Jones? Like, he'll get a pass because no matter what happens, you know, people around will still look at the offensive coordinator and blame them. I believe that's locally. And maybe there'll be a few outliers like a Dan Orlovsky or maybe a Chris Sims. I haven't heard him give an opinion on it or not. But for the most part, people are going to just look at numbers. And they are going to blame Mac. They are going to say he's not good. You know, 2-5. They won't break it down like, say, an Orlovsky just did when he watches and knows this kid. Most people will just look at the numbers because they don't know really. They know the story of what's going on in New England, but they're just going to judge him off his numbers. And right now, they're not good.
No, they're going to want to rip Bill for his decision. It's like another opportunity to kill Bill.
Unless you're a Bill defender.
Well, I get the sense in the national media from what we've heard just now. From you hear Dan Orlovsky yelling at Keyshawn Johnson on that phone call that we just had with him. Like, you really think Brian Hoyer is better than Mac Jones? I think that the national media is excited to jump on. Oh, you thought he got the next Tom Brady. You thought that he just lucked into this brilliant quarterback, and now look what he is, even before the injury in his second year. Well, Mike Lombardi, who I know you guys have a history with.
Yes.
We just listened to Dan Orlovsky basically defend Mac Jones and say what he's seeing from a quarterback's perspective. Well, Mike Lombardi, he roasted the 2022 Patriots on the GM Shuffle podcast, called them the most anti-Belichick team he's ever seen. And he's not putting a lot of blame on Bill Belichick. I want to go to this first cut where he talks about Mac Jones, how he's not protecting the ball enough.
As much as I like Mac Jones, I thought Mac Jones would protect the ball and play smarter than he's played. And now he's hurt with a high ankle. And, you know, to me, he was in danger of really of either changing what he did or he's going to lose his job. He's not going to play in the NFL. You're not going to play in the NFL. You keep turning the ball over like he was. Now, you could say, well, they don't have enough. They average 7-1 a play in the game. 7-1 a play in two of the three games. If they don't turn the ball over, they could be 3-0. I'm not saying they're good. Don't get me wrong. But when you turn the ball over like they did, whether it's fumbles and interceptions, and you allow the other team to have extra possessions and the other team has Lamar Jackson, you deserve to lose.
I don't want anyone calling in or commenting on our post or something saying that we're hot takers. When you've got Mike Lombardi sitting here and essentially saying Mac Jones was in danger of losing his job before,
essentially,
before spraining his ankle.
Yeah, losing his job.
Because he threw interceptions.
And can't play, putting it all. Basically, if Mac Jones protected the ball, this team's 3-0. What I heard is him putting all of this on Mac Jones. Like, all of it. And of course he's going to. Because we know Mike Lombardi. If you don't put it on Mac Jones, then you got to put it on Bill. And Bill's decisions of who coaches this team. So it's expected. But yeah, he went a little bit too far. Like, so what people are talking about is Mac Jones, the guy of the future. Hell, Mike Lombardi's wondering if he deserves to be in this league.
So that one clip, I thought he would protect the ball better. I thought he was above this. I thought he was advanced, right? He's smarter than this. And now look at him. He's got a high ankle sprain because he got hit, because he didn't get rid of the ball. What a dope. Now look at him. He can't protect the football, and now he's got a high ankle sprain. Look at the yardage. They average 7.1 yards per attempt. They can move the ball.
It's not the coach's fault.
But they can't stop turning it over, which is 100% disregarding all the decisions that Bill has made with his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like, there's a regression for a reason. There's doubt for a reason. There's indecisions. There's uncertainty for a reason. And especially with a year two quarterback who had an unbelievable rookie season, who suddenly has fallen off the face of the earth.
Do we think? Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Because of the coaching, Lombardi. That's nothing to do with Mac. He didn't all of a sudden wake up and be stupid. It's like, he's such a mouthpiece. He's such like a water-carrying Bill-like defender.
You deserve to lose.
It's so fraudulent and so obvious what he's doing.
Does Mike Lombardi think that Mac Jones came into this year and decided on his own that he's going to throw these deep 50-50 balls?
I'm going to throw it poorly on purpose, too.
No, but does Mike believe that? That's not being told? That this is what they want to do? Or to take more chances downfield? Mike Lombardi puts absolutely... You just heard him. He's questioning whether Mac should be able to play in this league or not, and he'd be 3-0 if he didn't throw picks.
It's absolutely bizarre. I want to go right to cut number three, Ryan, where he talks about blaming the coaches for the situation there right now.
I mean, like, I've never seen a New England team like this. Like, this is so anti-Belichick. It's so not who they are. It's so not who they are in that building. You know, they just haven't been themselves. I mean, and you could say, well, they don't have an offense. Like, it's not the plays. It's the mistakes they're making in the game. And you can blame it on the coaches all you want. I think that's pretty naive if you want to do it, because they haven't played the quarterback. I mean, think about it. Femi, they've had 8 turnovers in three games.
Mm.
8.
Oh, this guy.
Everything they do goes right back to their inability to protect the football.
This is... pathetic.
This guy.
I'm sorry. You're standing there pointing and blaming a 24-year-old kid who's in his second season, who, by the way, just suffered an injury, and you can't even say the words offensive coordinator.
Thank you.
He starts to say it, and he says, to blame the coaches is so naive.
This is so...
What?
And you can say, well, they don't have an offense. Like, it's not the plays.
No, this is so pathetic, because we have interviewed Mike Lombardi on Fridays, and we've gone around the league. And, Christian, correct me if I'm wrong. How many times has he talked about a young quarterback and said, well, he doesn't have a chance. Look at coaching. Look at coaching. Like, look at how the coaching influence on a quarterback has who turns the ball over. You know, this guy's irresponsible. Well, look at his coaches. These guys don't care about ball security. They don't care about attention to detail. They're not like Bill. Like, how many times does this guy talk about how important coaching is in this league, especially with young quarterbacks, to just all of a sudden separate these two? Like, coaching's got nothing to do with quarterback play. This is, it's so embarrassing for the SWAT. I mean, it's like, Jesus, just admit it.
It makes me sick. Like, it's suddenly, coaching doesn't matter.
Coaching doesn't matter anymore.
It never matters. And let me just read this to you because I was Mike Reese and I have been going back and forth all day today about this very subject. And we talked about it on Sunday. We mentioned it. We talked about it again on Monday. And then he heard us talking, and he sent me this segment number 4 quote from his notes segment that I think he put out there on Tuesday, and it references this very discussion we're having right now. It almost debunks what Lombardi just said.
Not hard to.
And here it is. It says the contrast between how Mac Jones, tied with league high 5 interceptions, has looked in the Patriots' new offense, and how fellow 2021 first round pick Trevor Lawrence now looks while operating a new offense in Jacksonville is notable as it relates to the often discussed second year jump. No final judgments are made after 3 weeks, but at least it currently shines a brighter spotlight on how Belichick has set up things up, how Belichick has set things up in 2022. Belichick set this up. Here's these two guys. They're going to be your coach. All right, well, I know where they both came from. I know their history because I'm not a dope, but you're telling me to trust them. I'm going to trust them. And I know that I know more about quarterbacking than they do, but you're telling me to trust them. So fine, I'm going to do what you, and I'm going to say everything right. But there's an obvious reason why Trevor Lawrence is thriving and Mac is suffering, like beyond belief, so much where he's literally turning into the kid who would smash his racket and his tennis coach would call him McEnroe. Like that is who he's, thank God he got hurt. Think about the tantrums you would see on the sideline if this kept going on. Like, hey, you guys all see the same play, and you're not. So what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't matter what second opinion they get or day by day, however they take this, because Mike Lombardi is just throwing Mac Jones under a bus right now, this entire interview. I want to go to cut number 2, Ryan. This is where he's talking about the mistakes that Mac has been making through these first 3 games.
I think he looks good, other than he's making stupid mistakes, and he's not good enough to overcome bad mistakes. Like, part of the allure for me with Mac Jones is he was going to be a smart player, protect the football at all cost, you know? But he's playing out of control. He's playing, like, you know, he's trying to, what does he think he is? He's throwing the ball up for grabs. Like, seriously. Like, you're not overly skilled, right? So when you're not overly skilled, you've got to make up for it with good decisions, good placement. All the things have to be. You can't hurt your team like he's been hurting his team.
Rogue quarterback.
Yeah, he's just rogue.
Rogue quarterback. Mac
rogue
Jones.
One.
Nothing to do with Bill. All of a sudden, it's amazing how coaching doesn't matter anymore, Mike.
Yeah. And Matt Patricia. He's defending Matt. He's really defending Bill's choices, therefore indirectly defending Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. One's the quarterback coach. The other guy's calling the plays. These are the yahoos that are putting your game plan together. These are the guys that are telling you this is going to be a good play in this situation. Trust me. So he's like, I don't understand it. He's just throwing the ball up for it, throwing it up for grabs.
Going against everything Bill represents.
Yeah, what is he doing? What's wrong with it? It can't be the coaches, right? Because Mac's a smart guy. So if Mac's smart, is he acting out? Is he just reckless because he's mad? Like, to me, this is so unbelievably careless and stupid. He calls people stupid. It's like, no, why can't you just, if this was any other team, and he with the exact similar situation, he would be ripping them, calling them fat and stupid, and I'm
the clapper.
Smart.
Who's the clapper?
Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett.
Yeah, how many times you ripped that guy? Well, what do you expect? You got the clapper's offensive coordinator.
I think terrible. That's pretty naive if you want to do it.
Unbelievable.
He says he's playing out of control. What does he think he is? He's a second-year quarterback coming in saying, can someone please tell me what to do? I'm standing on the sideline, and this play call sucks. And I guess I'm just going to toss it up to Devontae Parker again and pray that he actually jumps up and competes for the ball this time and brings it down. Otherwise, I get another turnover. Or that maybe when I chuck it right between the numbers to Nelson Aguilar that he doesn't cough it up again because he's out there instead of Kendrick Bourne, the guy who catches the freaking ball every time that I toss it to him on a cross route. Like, I don't understand if you're Mike Lombardi that you're standing here saying, what does Mac Jones think he is? Oh, he makes Pro Bowl last year. He plays for Saban at Alabama, and he thinks he can come in throwing up 50-50 balls.
Rogue.
Do you really think he came into Gillette saying, Screw you. Screw you, Matt Patricia. I'm just going to do what I want. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but Mago, think about everything that leads to that. All right. So you already have indecision and doubt, right? You already have it in the best situation. You have indecision and doubt going into the season. Then your offensive line is getting you killed. You heard that stat from Orlovsky. 40% of his dropbacks, he's getting hit. 40%. It might as well just be half the amount of time he drops back. He's running for his life or fearing for his life. One of the two. Or maybe they're both the same. I don't know. The fact is that he doesn't trust anything. He doesn't trust that even if he calls the right protection, they'll block it. He doesn't believe if he calls the right protection, like they're actually going to pick up the stunts. And he doesn't actually have any faith in that they're going to run the right route. So I don't understand. And I said this earlier. I do feel like he's playing with more pressure than he should. I don't think he gets enough support. I don't think he gets enough teaching. I don't think he gets the right message sent to him the right way, because I don't think he believes it. So as a quarterback, he says, well, I got to do more. I got to make something happen. So I do take chances that I shouldn't, Zach Wilson. I should force the issue, Trey Lance. All these young quarterbacks, Justin Fields, that they feel like they have to do it or nobody else will. So it ultimately, instead of eating it or running out of bounds, they force the issue because they trust their players.
See, as ridiculous of a defense of Bill Belichick I thought that this was from Mike Lombardi, like off the charts, like off the charts. Like
next
Mac
level.
Jones is rogue.
Yeah.
You can't blame, if you blame the coaches, you're naive.
Yeah.
They're moving the ball. It's just mistakes.
What does he think he is? He's throwing the ball up for grabs.
Yeah, they should be 3-0 if it wasn't for this kid. So we're not surprised he's defending Bill. But what do we always say that he is for Bill as well? A mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there a chance that uh-oh. Bill is sitting there saying, dude, I don't get it. Yeah, we want to take chances, but these are stupid. I thought he was smarter than that. Good, Bill. I thought he could separate the two. Like we always say that not only will he defend Bill, but he talks to Bill a lot. Like when Mike Lombardi speaks, it's like, okay, well, that's there you go. Bill's thinking this, Bill's thinking that. He's saying all these things. I mean, is Bill sitting there regretting Mac Jones?
Do you think Mike's now free to say all this because his son's no longer on the staff, so he can truly express his feelings?
True feelings? No, because I still think it's his first love is Bill Belichick. More than his kid.
More than his son.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. 100%. And that might be a slight exaggeration. However, I wonder, because we always accuse him of being the mouthpiece. I wonder if Bill Belichick right now is talking to Mike, being like, dude, I can't believe it. I'm with you. I thought he was a smart kid. I thought he wouldn't make mistakes. You know, we'd be 3-0 if it wasn't this kid chucking the ball all over the place.
I would prefer to believe that because his kid's not on the staff anymore, that he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, because this is the same Bill Belichick who, for the last couple months, as we've been standing there and the good beat reporters down at Gillette Stadium have been saying, you know, offensive corner, who's the play caller? What's this? What's that? You know, moving from defense to the offensive side of the ball. Bill says, hey, it all comes back to me. It's all, I have it on my shoulders. Instead of turning to Mike Lombardi and saying, what is up with this kid? Like, we drafted him because I thought he was smart and he would get this.
You thought you were drafting an error. You thought you were drafting a human eraser. I know what I'll do. I'll just bring these novice, you know, offensive coordinators in there. And for the most part, the play calling hasn't been terrible. You know, you're right. You're right, Mike. They have moved the ball. But when it's a critical situation, you screw it up. You call the wrong play. They don't block the right guy. They run the wrong route. Like, it's only a couple plays, right? Other than a couple plays, I thought it was pretty even. Yes, it always turns out like that. And if you want to look at the turnover differential as an indication to how bad they are, sure. Go look at the stat sheet on ESPN or any other of these publications. The teams that turn it over the most are the crappiest teams in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I two things. I know he's going to defend him, and I know he's Bill's mouthpiece. Like that. Like before he even said this. It's always been that way. Always been that way. So when he's ripping Mac Jones, I wonder, I'm like, huh. So I listened to this Mike Lombardi podcast, this portion of it. We're talking about Mac Jones. And then I went and listened to the media day today with Bill Belichick and asked him about Aaron Rodgers. And I started putting it together a little bit. Can we play that when we come back?
Yes, we're going to play that. Yes. You hear that? We're going to get that on the other side.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. This is Merlone Fourier and Mego on WEEI.
I think he looks good, other than he's making stupid mistakes, and he's not good enough to overcome bad mistakes. Part of the allure for me with Mac Jones is he was going to be a smart player, protect the football at all costs. He's playing out of control. He's playing, like, you know, He's trying to, what does he think he is? He's throwing the ball up for grabs. Like, seriously, you're not overly skilled, right? So when you're not overly skilled, you've got to make up for it with good decisions, good placement. All the things have to be. You can't hurt your team like he's been hurting his team.
All right, that was Michael Lombardi from the GM Shuffle. Real quick before we do the loose sound that he wants, just that one thing that he said, Mego, he's playing out of control, right? It's just, he's like, why else would he? Why would he be playing out of control? Like, he doesn't have an axe to grind. He's not a disgruntled employee, right? He doesn't like trying to, like, you know, sabotage the year. Like, why would he be playing out of control? Like, there's no parenting. Like, there's no parenting. Like, he needs a spanking or something.
Rogue. Wild.
One.
I mean, when I think of Mac Jones, I look at him as just like, you know, rogue.
Yeah.
Wild. Like, screw you, I'm doing it my way. Like, we've always said those characteristics when it comes to Mac Jones,
I always
right?
thought it was kind of weird how when we meet with him in Gillette on Mondays, on Patriot Mondays, how every time he leaves, he, like, rips his shirt open. You know, it's a weird look for him, but he's just that kind of out of control, shoot from the hip kid.
He doesn't use the door. He crashes through the wall because he's crazy like that.
Like the Kool-Aid man?
All the time.
So, Lou, you brought this up, this sound of Bill, because we were listening to Mike Lombardi just throw Mac Jones under the bus, just kick him when he's already down. The kid is going day by day trying to figure out this ankle injury.
Yeah.
And then you picked up on, obviously, the Patriots are playing the Packers on Sunday, and Bill talking a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, a very established, very talented quarterback.
After we got the whole day-by-day, you know, the whatever injury updates on Mac Jones, they started asking him about the, you know, Green Bay Packers and, of course, Aaron Rodgers, you know, that type of guy, and what's it like going up against him and what makes him great and all these other things. But after listening to Mike Lombardi, I literally just then started listening to Bill. Because I had the same thought. I'm like, oh my God, he's putting it all on Bill. Or he's putting it all on Mac. And then I'm like, Jesus, is he really just a soundboard for Bill? Is there a chance Bill feels this way about Mac? Like, he's just reckless? He makes too many mistakes? Listen to how he describes Aaron Rodgers and really what makes him great.
He's seen it all a million times. They don't turn the ball over. He doesn't make very many mistakes. He never has. He's a very resourceful quarterback. He makes the plays that are there. And then he makes a few plays that really aren't there. And then he rarely makes a mistake where he has a bad play. There's very, very few of those. I think that's one of the things that makes him a great quarterback. He helps the team win. He does the things that they need to do to win. He's certainly very protective of the ball and got a lot of freedom, which he should. And he makes a lot of good decisions.
So are you going to dissect that for us, Lou?
Yeah,
what do you think he's trying to? You think he's sending a message?
Well, I mean, what makes Aaron Rodgers great? He doesn't make. How many times did he say he doesn't make mistakes? He makes good decisions. He's got a lot of freedom, which he should, but he doesn't make mistakes. The guy doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't protect the ball. Doesn't make mistakes. And then you got his mouthpiece, Mike Lombardi, going off on Mac Jones, talking about how he's reckless and rogue, and he's making too many mistakes, and they were probably going to make a change, or this guy can't play in the league like this. And I'm just like, one after another, heard the sound. I'm like, Jesus. Like, is Bill literally, like, looking at Mac like he's not who I thought he was? Makes too many mistakes. He's not as smart as I was. Doesn't protect the ball as much as I'd like. Is he talking to Lombardi? How do you describe Aaron Rodgers the entire time? Is just what really makes him great is that he doesn't make any mistakes. Yeah. Really? Listen, I know he doesn't turn the ball over, but that's what makes him great? Or is it the athleticism, the accuracy, arm strength? Just focused on he doesn't make any mistakes, and he's got his mouthpiece ripping Mac.
Everything that he does great, our guy does crappy. Like, I feel like that is what it is. Like, you're right. Like, there is, obviously, you know, protecting the ball security and all that stuff is obviously hugely important, especially, you know, in a closely contested game. Because, of course, you don't want to give the other team any other, you know, extra opportunities. But, yeah, I almost feel like he's, I don't know. It's like, you know, geez, it's like, God, this, you know, like some dad talking about the other kid on the team and his son is sitting right here. This guy's great. He's accountable. He's fast. It's like, Dad, hello.
Yeah.
It's like, so, I play too.
He listens. You tell him once. Yeah. He does it.
He does everything he's supposed to do. Hello, I'm right here. But that is it. Like, that is what Bill covets the most. And especially in a situation where you're not very good. Like, to me, we're not hearing anything that we haven't heard before. Like, of course, ball security is huge. What I have an issue with is the finger that's being pointed at is directly at the quarterback that we all know has a history of success and not being reckless and not being stupid. Like, he doesn't do it. There's no sign of it other than the last two games when everything that we've been talking about for 5 months during the offseason is all coming true. Like, the biggest mistake. What's your biggest mistake? What's your biggest regret? Not drafting Mac, Lou. That's, you got to put the right coaches around him. That, to me, is the biggest insult around. Like, you thought this was going to work.
Well, and Lou, to your point, if Bill is taking a dig at Mac here by heaping so much kind of bizarrely specific praise on Aaron Rodgers, man, that's a guy who's been in the league for 16-plus years. See, of course he's going to make good decisions. Of course he's going to see the field better. Like, your guy has been out there for a year and change. And by the way, like, you took the training wheels off and you essentially, like, pushed him down a steep hill and was like, hope you find the brakes, you know? Like, yeah. If you don't like the decision-making, you got to look back at who is instructing him.
I just think after, like, the third or fourth time, he basically was saying that what really makes him great is that he doesn't make mistakes.
If
after
you're,
like, the third or fourth time in this press conference, I'm like, Jesus.
You know, it's if like you ask somebody what makes it, Aaron Rodgers an awesome quarterback.
Right. Your quarterback's making mistakes.
Yeah, if you ask somebody on the street, hey, you're a football fan? Yeah, okay. You play fantasy? What makes Aaron Rodgers an awesome quarterback? I think they'd say he makes the best decisions. Guy doesn't make mistakes.
You would definitely sit there and say he only throws like three or four picks a year. Like, he protects the football. But would that be the focal
Would that be
point?
The first thing?
Well, he is number one all-time in the lowest interception percentage of his passing attempts.
I agree. And you would mention, like I said, you would say that. You're like, the guy doesn't throw the ball away. I mean, doesn't
When you say he has an awesome arm.
But what
Remember
makes
all those great? Hail Mary plays he made?
Yeah. I mean,
like, he can chuck it.
Accuracy, arm strength. He uses his legs, gets outside the pocket, makes things happen. I mean, all of it, but it's just like the main focal point in describing what makes him great was him telling everybody that he doesn't make mistakes. Yeah, he throws the ball downfield, but he doesn't make many mistakes. He doesn't give him the ball back. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't make. Did I mention he doesn't make any mistakes? Have I mentioned that yet? By the way, he doesn't make any mistakes.
But again,
like, my quarterback apparently does, and I'm going to tell Mike Lombardi so we can go off on his podcast and we can all agree that maybe I made a mistake and I'm off board on Mac Jones. I was wrong about Mac.
Wow,
Jones.
Regret already. Not even the halfway part of
I
year
hope
two.
That's
There's
not
already
the case.
Regret.
I really hope that's not the case. And I now really he doesn't hope want it's Mike Lombardi being uninformed and just trying to be a human
informed.
Shield for Bill Belichick.
And now he doesn't want surgery, Mike. Can you believe it? He doesn't want to get back on the field. He's his second year in the league. He doesn't want to get back in 4 weeks. He wants to take his time and come back in eight.
I thought it was so funny, like, the Lombardi part about, like, you know, he's thrown all over the place. Now look at him. Yeah, he hurt his ankle. It's like one is related to the other one. Like, him being reckless and throwing interceptions is a direct correlation of why he hurt his ankle. Like, it has nothing to do that nobody blocked Calais Campbell long enough and just let him through and hit the quarterback afterwards. No, it wasn't that. It was the last play of the game. He's just throwing it up. It's like a punt. But and then to your point, Mego, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Like, arguably, depending on where you're at when he's all done, maybe top five quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Top five of all time. Like, how many debates have we had of who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Well, it's obviously Tom Brady. He's accomplished more, and ultimately he's got more records, more yards, everything else. But Aaron Rodgers was always right behind. It wasn't Joe Montana. It was Aaron frickin' Rodgers.
Christian.
You should be glowing over Aaron Rodgers.
This is like if your wife was, like, talking about Brad Pitt. She was like, Brad Pitt's so hot. Brad Pitt has the best body. Yeah. Brad Pitt's got a beautiful face. Brad Pitt's aging so well.
Yeah,
you'd
no
be like,
kidding.
Can you stop talking? I know I'm not Brad Pitt.
Hello, I'm right
Can
here.
Can you stop?
Yeah.
What's
I'm
wrong
right.
with me?
Hey, out of shape, overweight husband right here in front of you. Like, stop it. You're hurting me. I'm, like, insecure now. You never want to take your shirt off.
Exactly.
Feel like crap. Now you can
exactly.
marry me to Brad frickin' Pitt.
All right. We're going to continue the Bill Belichick talk on the other side. Will he get a pass for whatever transpires for the rest of the season now, given the injury that they are taking day by day? We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.